drop that tasty beat. Wow. Thank you guys so much for that fantastic intro. Welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I, as always, am Mellified, and I am joined in hosting duties by the esteemed Fenrir765 and the man who's still waiting for Tiny Tina to reach the age of consent in Arizona. It's Hoptimus. Our community guest host tonight was going to be Namofni, and I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly. We didn't get a chance to actually hear it verbalized. But his internet committed harakiri rather than transmitting our conversation. Unfortunately, that means we are guest hostless this evening. But I am sure, as always, it will be a better than average show. Fenrir, I think it's important we set realistic expectations. How are you doing tonight?
Is that going to be our shtick where we just have dope ass intro music for every single episode that is not the same?
Works for me.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if we make it famous, we can probably have a legit career out of intro music.
Maybe for other podcasts. Maybe there Switch go. Can hook us up.
Start selling our intro music skills.
Wow. I don't think we should necessarily cash that check just yet, but let's keep our fingers crossed. All right. Op, how are you doing tonight, man?
Doing good. I'm excited to talk about some fun stuff tonight, and yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Well, great. Why don't you take us into our first news? I can't talk tonight. What is going on? First news story, please. Hoptimus.
Did you get stung by a bee on your lip?
I'm having a little trouble talking this evening. No, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think it's just been a long couple days. We had a unfortunate incident with one of our barn cats getting into it with a raccoon. And unfortunately,
maybe you have rabies.
Well, that was the fear, and ultimately we ended up having to put the cat down.
Aww, so
it's been kind of a week. Yeah, well, you know, it's a barn cat. Like, they're not really members of the family. They're just kind of animals that live on the property. So I'm not super broken up about it, but my kids were pretty upset. And the cat was in a bad way, so it was pretty gnarly. But
you know, Mufasa has a really good explanation of the circle of life, in case you care.
I will keep that in mind. Thank you. Okay. All right. Sorry, Hop. So please take it away. News.
News. Beep, 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 beep. First news story we have. I have HyperX showed off a bunch of new stuff at Gamescom. And as you know, I'm not paid by them, but I should be, because I'm always pimping out their headsets. But they are finally releasing some wireless option for Xbox One. We are getting the HyperX Cloud X Flight wireless headset. It's supposed to be out fourth quarter. 30 hours of battery life. The current reviews for the version that's out right now for PC and PS4, that's the number one feature people love, is that battery life's really long. That's going to come out fourth quarter. They're re-releasing their Stinger headset with some minor upgrades. There's this is kind of neat. If you have a 5.1, but you need the single-ear chat set, and you don't want to buy the crappy Microsoft one, HyperX is releasing one with a 40mm driver, so you'll definitely be able to hear people there. They're also coming out with their own dual Elite wireless controller charging station. That sounds pretty awesome. And they're also coming out with a revised Cloud Stinger headset for PS4 and a chat headset for PS4. The current flights are PS4 compatible. Let's see, the Stingers are available this month, and the like I said, the flight says just fourth quarter, so it could be any time between now and December. But that's pretty cool. I'm excited to try that out. I'm still. I went back to using my HyperX Cloud Alphas, and sold my Lucid Sound to Duke. So Duke, hope you're enjoying that Lucid Sound. Anyway, That's what they reveal at the Gamescom, and I'm pretty excited about that myself.
I mean, we've been talking about that for sure. We've so often say, just if HyperX could get their shit together and drop a Xbox.
Yeah, I think it's an Xbox licensing thing because they have their proprietary wireless jumbo, because the Flight came out on PS4 PC like over a year ago.
Well, it's been funneling through all the major headphone things. I mean, Lucid Sounds, Razer, Turtle Beach, they all have connection to the Xbox directly now, so it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I think anytime we're getting more accessories, it improves the competitive marketplace. There's more choices and makes these guys work harder.
Yeah, that's always good. I agree.
Maybe they'll have a microphone that won't make me sound so quiet. I don't know.
Well, like I said, I think I was reading an article and that Razer you have is notorious for its noise gate, which accidentally may be cutting off your voice half the time that you're trying to talk. It's just really aggressive. It's trying to filter out extra sound, but sometimes it's filtering you out.
Maybe that's better for everybody involved in the party chats, so... I don't know.
What do you got going on down here, friends? Something about possibly more good news for Borderlands fans.
Well, I mean, it was more of a tease, if you will. I mean, enough to get us a little excited, but we may never see anything of it. But one of the Borderlands 3 lead writers said that he would really like the opportunity to write Season 2 of Tales from the Borderlands, which was the Telltale game.
Yeah. The first one I love. That's actually, I'm not going to lie, it's the only Telltale game I ever played because it was Borderlands. I loved it. Loved it.
It was an awesome story. Telltale has done a really good job, in my opinion, for every game I played. I haven't played all of them, but I've played most of the Walking Dead series. I've played most of the... I played Batman. I've done... I tried
Both the Batman's?
Wolf of... Just the first season, then. I don't think. Okay. And I started The Wolf Among Us, and I've always meant to go back and finish it. But their storytelling is always a great piece of their game. Their engine and their gameplay is a little clunky, but the storytelling has always been great. But Tales from the Borderlands was probably my second favorite outside of Walking Dead season one. So it'd be kind of cool to see what they do because they have a lot of really cool characters in it. And I have a theory about one of the characters from Tales of the Borderlands and how he impacts Borderlands 3.
Right. We've discussed this off the air. You're not alone in that theory. There's quite a few people on the Borderlands Reddit that think the same thing. So.
Yeah, I haven't searched it out. And I just want to like hope that it's right because that'd be really cool. Tales from Borderlands was a great story, and some of the characters from Tales of the Borderlands does come into Borderlands 3, but not all of them. At least they haven't mentioned if all of them will be there. They've confirmed at least two of them, so we'll see what happens with that. And then I also got a little greedy this week on the news because there was another piece of news I thought was kind of cool. It made my like high school band nerd kind of thing freak out a little bit. It was Cuphead released their sheet music for their Ragtime music.
That's
soundtrack.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I was telling Mel off the air, I was like, you know, I would have loved when I was in high school playing in band, like to be able to go to the director and say, hey, here's a song that is really cool, really fun to play. Can we try it out and have it connect back to a video game that is really cool too? So that was just something that was kind of interesting. And I wish more games would do that, release their sheet music from their scores so people could decide if they wanted to play them or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking about this, and one thing I've noticed is it's sometimes hard to even get just the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Forget about the sheet music.
True.
You know? There was Oblivion, the old Skyrim game, or Elder Scrolls game. I absolutely loved the
score. That game had great music.
And the only one that you can find is like a medley of songs from the game that was recorded by the Czech National Symphony Orchestra or something. And that's like you know, all
I played all that game late in the life of it. Like, it was Skyrim was already out, and I hadn't played Skyrim yet. And I played Fallout 3, and after I played Fallout 3, I was like, well, I'm going to go play Oblivion. And then I got hooked on Oblivion. I played the crap out of that, and then I went and played Skyrim. So I played all three of those games in, like, the span of a year and a half. So it was, I got pretty deep into Bethesda's gaming world for a little while.
Yeah.
Now I got that damn Viking chanting stuck in my head from Skyrim.
Aha!
Fasroda! Oh, yeah. Sorry, I just blew my microphone across the room. Well, on a slightly different note, we have made a lot of maps collectively, the fans of Halo over the years, and Microsoft decided that they were going to move all of them over to make them accessible from MCC. And so we ended up with about 6.6 million player-made custom maps being added to MCC. Now, the one detail here is that they are not accessible yet, and they won't be until Reach is launched, the DLC coming for MCC, which we have heard is coming real soon now for about 3 months, it seems like. So I'm not sure quite when that's going to actually...
I'm sure there's a groundhog somewhere that will tell us whether or not Reach comes out soon or another 7 more weeks.
It's a grunt. You lift him up out of his hole and, you know, he talks. So it'll be interesting to see. But I actually thought it was really cool because, you know, people worked really hard on some of these maps. I'm sure about 60 of the 6.6 million are really, really good. And the rest are probably mediocre to fair. But there's probably some real gems in there. And it's nice when that stuff's made available again. So Hop, I gather that we have a game release. You've been doing a countdown in the Discord for this one, and we're doing these a little out of order because I've been talking, and so I want to mix it up. But what's coming out on September 13th, Hop?
Well, really, it's September 12th for me, but yes, September 13th for everybody on the East Coast. Borderlands 3. September 12th, 9:01 p.m. for me. So on Halo night, that night at 9:01 p.m., I will be signing off Halo. And I will be jumping on to Borderlands 3. Anyone's welcome to join me if you're staying up that late.
Hey, I heard
Tamzilla. Including Sith, but I know he's not buying the game, so I'm just throwing that out there.
I heard Tamzilla doesn't have to work Thursday or Friday. So
you know she's not going to stay up that late.
She'll just be up really early to play on Friday morning.
Right, yeah. And I'm not taking that day off, but I'll probably only work half a day just because that's how my Fridays have worked out anyway. But yeah, that's the game that feels like I've been waiting 5 years for. And at one point a couple years ago, I thought it wasn't going to happen when it seemed like... For a minute, it seemed like Gearbox was going to go under with that whole Aliens, Colonial Marine thing and all that stuff that happened. I was like, man, what's happening to Gearbox? But
and then they showed that little tech test.
Right, and yeah. Everything changed. Yeah, there's been lots of talk about the skill trees and the characters, and I've been posting stuff, and there's definitely more. There's one total pet class, and we've got two other classes that have pet-like abilities, but they're not all quite the same, and some people are getting confused about that. But I like the fact that there's multiple skill trees and multiple action skills, and I like that there's level scaling on by default, but you can switch that back to classic mode if you want to power level your friends or secondary tunes if you're doing some split-screen power leveling. So some people like to do that. Anyway, yes, that is a game I've been looking forward to and talked about quite a bit since they showed that first trailer.
Well, I know we have a pretty big fan base for Monster Hunter World in the Discord. There's a handful of people that played the heck out of Monster Hunter World. So I thought it was pretty exciting that Iceborne, their big expansion, paid expansion, is coming out on the 6th, which is in a couple days.
The same day that another big game comes out.
I don't have it on the list. What other game comes out on the 6th?
You wrote the wrong date.
Yeah, you wrote the wrong date, man. Well, I guess you wrote the date for normal people.
True. But we'll talk about that in a moment. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Cart before the horse.
Well, yes. I copied and pasted this out of somebody else's list because I'm lazy. So the dates, I take no responsibility for the accuracy of the dates. But so at Monster Hunter World, I know we have some folks that are excited about that one. One of the interesting aspects to it is they're going to be rewarding people who help their friends level and get, you know, more monsters taken down. So there's definitely some incentive to go back and play with your buddies. Fen, take it away, man.
So on September 10th, if you're just a pleb, you can get access to Gears 5. But if you're part of Game Pass Ultimate or you bought the Ultimate Edition of Gears 5, you can access the game on September 6th, which is Friday.
Which, and again, for me, is September 5th at 9:01 p.m.
Damn you and your time zone.
It's only an advantage for this time of year when the hot drops come out.
Yeah.
You know what? When daylight savings time kicks back in and you have to wait another hour, I'm going to be rubbing in your face.
I'll get to game with you guys more.
That's true. That's very true. Anyways, so Gears 5. We'll dive more into Gears 5 a little bit later in the show, but or not necessarily Gears 5, but Gears in general. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a busy Friday for a lot of people in tag. Either you're going to play Iceborne from Monster Hunter or you're going to be playing Gears 5, I think. So,
some poor people are going to try and play all three of those, and boy, they're going to be...
That's true.
I just want to throw out there, there's three games coming out for Switch. We got Demon X Machina. We got Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening Remake. That looks pretty awesome. I loved that game from the Game Boy Color. And then we've got Dragon Quest XI's S Switch Edition, which probably has some stuff added to it.
Yes, it's the definitive edition or something. Just real briefly, Daemon X Machina is... there is a demo out for it that's free to download and try. And apparently they've made some improvements based on the feedback from that demo because it came out several months ago at this point. But this is a combat game. You're fighting demons using giant mechs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is pretty cool. So it's kind of a neat concept on that one. All right. Well, we also have a couple game updates. Fen, did you really want to talk about this one?
Oh, I totally do.
Okay.
Apparently... For all of you out there with your Xbox 360s running hard still, you have an update for minor bugs and improvements. That's it.
I do actually have a 360 hooked up, so I'll have to make sure it gets that. I definitely want minor improvements.
I mean, minor bug fixes and improvements. That's all they did. It's the first update in about a year, and the last major update came in like 2015, so... It's been a while, but they're still supporting it, apparently, until probably Scarlet comes out, because I really don't think they're going to keep trying to keep the 360 going.
Yeah, as we've talked about a few times, one of the unfortunate realities of the game licensing business is that there are games that you can only play on the 360, despite Microsoft's extensive backward compatibility, so that's why I have mine hooked up.
Do you think that the update is more or less about the BC program than it is the actual 360?
It could very well be. One of the things that all companies are dealing a lot with is security certificates expiring and things like that.
Okay.
And the 360 has been out long enough. It's possible that some of those 10-year, 15-year certificates they issued, so they didn't have to worry about it, now they have to worry about because they're expiring. So,
all right.
So Hop, I know you're excited about Borderlands as we just talked about, but did you know you could be playing Fortnite with a Borderlands skin?
I saw that. Yeah, that's That's neat. I'm not into Fortnite, but if you're into Fortnite and you like Borderlands, that's pretty cool.
The one that I saw was the classic Borderlands Psycho skin with a Claptrap as a backpack character.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Which is pretty funny. So I had enough V-Bucks from playing the PvE mode. There is a PvE mode in Fortnite. It's not all Battle Royale, by the way, for those who don't know that. But I played that enough to have some V-Bucks saved, so I blew like 2,000 V-Bucks on the, which is like equivalent to $20 if you were to pay cash, but I had it just from the game. So I used those to buy me.
Crazy how much those things cost.
Yeah, they're not cheap. That's why they're making millions of dollars. So good on them, I guess. All right, moving on. Hey, we pay for this podcast and our Minecraft realm and the website for the Adult Gamer using Amazon affiliate links. There is a bot. When you post an Amazon thing in our Discord, it will repost it with the affiliate tag attached. If you use that version, that link, tag gets a little kickback. It's about 3%, roughly. Doesn't cost you any more, but Amazon kind of builds that into the price. So you might as well take advantage. And if you are doing some big shopping on Amazon and you want to help us out, go to theadultgamer.com, scroll all the way to the bottom. On the right, there is a link to Amazon US and Amazon CA. Click through that link, go shopping, and whatever you buy will kick back to tag that little referral. All right, Fenrir, we did not update the template for our show notes to reflect the new name for this segment.
Yes, Fenrir's Mailbag.
But do you have a question for Fenrir's mail sack?
Yes, for Fenrir's mailbag this week, this question actually comes from me.
Oh, well.
Since I'm the creator and owner of this segment, I can choose what I want to do, right? So I was mowing the yard the other day, and I had a thought, and I figured I'd pose this question to you guys. You get an opportunity to take over a radio station in your town for a day, but the owner of the radio station says you must curate your playlist based off of one song or artist or band or whatever it is. What song or artist would you pick?
This is the easiest question ever for me. Johnny Cash, easily one of my favorite all-time music recording artists.
I love Johnny. So you can only play one artist for the whole day.
No. You base the station off of that one, like Pandora. Like you pick the artist and they kind of curate based on that one person.
Right.
Or band or whatever. Or song even.
Right. I've loved all kinds of music over the years. But something about progressive music, really, I enjoy the complexity. Don't get me wrong, I love like a basic melody and a 4-4 beat like nobody else, but I really like complex arrangements, so I would probably base it all around Yes, and you would lump in like Rush, King Crimson, Tool, any kind of band that uses progressive timing. My If you play with me on Xbox Live, you see my gamer pick is a Yes related album cover. So that was easy for me too.
All right.
How about you, Fen?
So I saw this band live, I don't know, it hasn't been that long ago in the grand scheme of things, but ever since then I've been kind of hooked on their music and I really enjoy them. And I have to go with Kings of Leon.
Well. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. That might be more of my age comparatively to you guys. But yeah, I dig everything that they do. And I have a couple stations on different Pandora, Spotify, Amazon based on them. And every single time the music's just been spot on to what I enjoy. So
nice. Yeah, I think one of the fun things about doing an artist with a really long career for me would be you can. you know, Johnny Cash covered everything from Nine Inch Nails to...
Dude, his version of Hurt, that video fucking killed me. Killed me. I was like, dude, I'm gonna go cry and drink some whiskey right now. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, seriously. Geez. Seriously. But, and there's some controversy about, you know, his mental state when he recorded some of those songs, I guess, was a little shaky. But, you know, they're still great pieces of art. They're still great songs or covers of those songs. And he just had such a unique voice and such a pronounced character. I just thinking
about that song is just, like, giving me chills.
Yeah.
I got that, like, kind of vibrato of his voice when he's singing, going through my brain right now.
Dude, and that, when they used that for the trailer for Logan, I was like, no, don't do this to me. You're cutting me deep.
I forgot all about that.
Damn. Oh, yeah.
That was good. I love it. Like, music is such a cool, transcendent thing that can be applied to movies, TV, games, all sorts of media. And, you know, still one of my favorite game trailers is the Mad World trailer for Gears.
That was literally one of the things I put for our deep dive later.
Don't jump ahead. Don't jump ahead, fam.
Yeah, don't jump ahead.
Sorry, I did not look
you
that
bastard.
Far.
No, so one of the things I was going to add to what you were saying, Fen, is that one of the fascinating things about playing a video game is if you're having a hard time trying to beat a boss, mute the sound. Because they do such a good job of tying the music in and getting your heart pumping, your adrenaline going with just the soundtrack, that it throws off your timing and makes the boss battles and stuff harder because you know part of your brain is amped up from the music. And so I told my kids that and they just looked at me like I had grown another head. But
you didn't grow another head?
Yeah, you know, but it worked surprisingly well when I've always tried it. So.
Yeah.
At any rate.
Well, that's my mailbag question from me. And if the Discord, feel free to kind of share what kind of, if you could create your own radio station based off of one music, let us know who that is or what song you would choose to formulate that station. So.
Another Fenrir's Big Sack in the bag. Really great contribution. Thank you. So Hop, what have you been playing recently?
I've been playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege, a lot. I love that game. Been having a lot of fun, even got Fenrir to play it because it went free, and then some anonymous donor ended up buying it for Fenrir.
I'm a lucky SOB.
I still can't play that motherfucking game on the Xbox.
Your Ubisoft thing still borked?
Well, I know what it is now, which is my Ubisoft account has something with it that makes it not work with matchmaking on the Xbox.
That's so
weird. It works fine on the PC, but if I disconnect my Xbox account from my Ubisoft account, connect it to a different Ubisoft account, it works. Problem is, if I do that permanently, then I lose all of the bajillion unlock things that I've done through the Ubisoft store. Because that's all tied to your Ubisoft account with your stupid Ubisoft money. So, like, all the extra content in Division 2 and Far Cry, like, skins and weapons and all that stuff goes away. And so I went to Ubisoft support and I was like, hey, you know, if this is the solution, give me, you know, enough credits to rebuy everything on my new account because this is ridiculous. And they said, oh, we're going to fix it real soon now. And that was 2 months ago. And it's still not fixed. I checked it this weekend. So I've just sort of given up hope at this point. It's really frustrating, especially because I've paid through a series of mishaps. I've bought the game like 3 times and applied it to my account. So I've paid well over $100 for the game, and I can't play it.
Didn't you know that Real Soon's timetable is really 2 months to 10 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't been able to play the game for a year at this point. On Xbox, so it's super frustrating.
All right, so
that sucks.
Yeah,
I really like the game. That's the worst part. Like, I would actually play it, I think, pretty regularly if I could. So anyway,
what else are you playing up?
Let's see, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and then most recently, this is actually Monday. I was at home got off work early, and I was on and Mixed Switch and Tay and them were playing some Black Ops, and I was like, hey, you guys got room? I'll play whatever. They were playing multiplayer. Like, sure. And they invite me in, and they were playing heist mode, and I was like, what is this? And Mixed Switch just nonchalantly says, oh, it's basically like Counter-Strike, but in Black Ops. I was like, oh, really? You guys, I don't know if you know this, I had a serious Counter-Strike addiction from 1999 to like 2006 or something. It was bad. Basically till Gears came out. There's another Gears-related trivia for you. So I was like, oh, and it pretty much does. It plays a lot like Counter-Strike. It's single spawn rounds. You use cash to buy stuff. You get to carry your gun over each round, but you don't get to carry over your armor, ammo, or any accessories like grenades and whatnot. So it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. I had a blast. I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. Firemen played with us. We had a good time. That's all I've played this week, basically, those three games.
All right.
What have you been up to, Finn?
Well, I'm still trucking away on the Red Dead Redemption 2 epilogue. It is a very long epilogue, but it's tying in the connection between Red Dead Redemption 1 and Red Dead Redemption 2. It's finally starting to make sense how you got from the second game to the first game, if that makes sense. Mel and I, we got a chance to play some Strange Brigade earlier. Yay. And that was fun. We need to get back in there and keep playing. Get back to our kind of weekly thing.
We're getting close to the end, I think. And then there's just a couple DLC missions, so...
But I gotta know if we stop the crazy zombie mummy lady, so...
Yes.
Hop said I've been playing Siege. I get the appeal of the game. I'm really enjoying it, and I can't wait to actually try some PvP next. Once we can get a crew of more than just me and Hop playing. So if you're into Siege...
Well, Jay plays. He's just been on vacation, and then Minarga plays, and he's just on an odd time.
And he never showed back up.
Right. And then I've been playing with a couple guys. They aren't tagged yet. They play with Jay sometimes. They're really cool guys. I'll see if we can get them on again in the next week and a half. Between now and next Friday is probably all the Siege, heavily Siege I'm going to play.
Yep. I've also been doing Guacamelee 2. A lot of fun, and I tried the Gears Pop game on mobile just because I wanted to try it out, and it's
heard it's a lot like Clash of Clans.
One of those, yeah. I couldn't tell you. I don't play a lot of mobile games, but it was fun for about 5 minutes, and then I'm done with it. So I don't have the longevity in it, and it has a lot of that kind of, you earn a reward that you have to wait 2 hours to unlock, or you can spend money to unlock it. So I'm just not into that kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's an interesting game. I mean, if you're looking for something to do while sitting on the toilet, fine. It might be something to help you pass the time while you pass other things. So that's kind of all I've been doing this week. Mel?
I actually had a kind of a busy week. I'm off work this week and had Friday off last week, so I've been doing some power gaming. I rolled credits on Just Cause 4, the basic story mode. I beat the big bad guy, conquered the whole island. There's still a bunch of like side content to do and DLC, but I did finish the main game. I had started a game of Stellaris. I think we talked a little bit about it last time, and I finally kind of got back and was powering through the late game to try and get to some completion. And I joined a federation of a couple other aliens, and they were real resistant to me joining because I had my society set up where I could declare war on anybody at any time for any reason. And they didn't like that. So they made me, you know, in order to join the Federation, I had to change my war stance. And I did that. And then one of them decides that they're going to declare war on the, like, super strong remnant civilization. And basically I took my giant doom stack of ships and fought his giant doom stack of ships and won. Wiped them out. And so we were just dominating and took over a bunch of territory, which triggered an end game condition for being in a federation that controls X percentage of the galaxy. Which promptly ended my game as soon as the war ended. And I didn't really understand what had happened. And so I was just like trying to figure it out. And I just wanted to continue my game. So I was in the middle of building like a Halo ring and all these other things. And somehow it just kicked me out to the menu. And I didn't even get the lousy achievement for beating the game. So I was a little disappointed, needless to say, with that one. But I love Stellaris. It's a fantastic game if you like strategy and sci-fi, especially. You kind of get to tell your own story of your civilization. So once I kind of finished those two, I was like, okay, well, what now? I really was jonesing for like a dungeon crawler RPG. And I started playing Bard's Tale 4, the director's cut on Xbox. This is In Exile, one of the studios that Microsoft bought last year. And this game was kickstarted. It's got some rough edges. Let's just put that out there. But they did all original music for it, being a Bard's Tale. And really, you know, it's a fun little first-person dungeon crawler. The combat's turn-based, and there's some interesting strategy with that. And I just really enjoyed the heck out of it. I'm still playing it. I've still got maybe two-thirds of the way through the game, but really had fun with it. Wreckfest is a new release on Xbox. It's a track driving game, but it's all destruction derby. And the cars are realistically modeled for damage, so you can really tear off fenders and, you know, body panels and expose your wheels and all that kind of stuff. And that's certainly fun. You also eventually do have to win a few races, which gets kind of interesting because you can do it by taking out your opponents or actually driving well. You know, I didn't play a ton of it. I did play a mission where you drive around in lawnmowers, which was pretty entertaining. So that'll be that's kind of a fun one just to kind of throw in when I need a little brain break. And then, as Sven mentioned, we played some Strange Brigade. And then finally, my wife opined the other day that she really thought it'd be fun to play Rock Band with the kids. For those who might remember the 360 days, there was a while there where everybody would get together and play.
Oh yeah, we used to.
Plastic instruments.
Right. It's good times.
Yeah, yeah. And so Rock Band 4 came out a while ago along with Guitar Hero World Tour. It kind of came out at the same time, which probably is part of the problem, but Guitar Hero World Tour was an online service, and when they shut down the online service, you could only play like 4 songs. Ooh. Activision ended up having to give everybody refunds for that game, complete refunds, if they bought it. So, kind of a big boondoggle. Rock Band 4 is a little better shape, I would say. One of the great things is I had several hundred songs on the 360. And as soon as I installed Rock Band 4, it imported and downloaded most of them. So that was really nice. The big problem with Rock Band 4 is all of the accessories were made by Mad Catz, who filed for bankruptcy shortly after. So the drums, the guitars are wireless finally, which is a big upgrade. But you can't get them. They're really hard to find, especially the drums. You can use any USB mic. I got 2 guitars off eBay for about $80 each, which is more or less retail when they came out, a little bit more. And I have not found a set of drums for under about $300 at this point.
Jeez.
Just the cymbal upgrade kit goes for $180.
What?
Wow. Yeah, it's insane. Just because there's so little supply. There was a special red Target edition of the drums, which goes for
$900.
So, I mean, just insane prices. There is a way you can hook up your old drums from previous games, but you need a $50 USB adapter to plug them into the Xbox One and have them work.
Dang.
Which raises the price of buying the older ones, and then those are probably in a little bit worse shape, and there's some questions about compatibility and all this other stuff. So it's just That's been a little bit of a research project, but we actually had one of my sons playing with my wife. They're both on guitar, and I was singing, which my other son yelled from the other room, "Could Dad please stop singing off key? It's really hurting my ears." So you can tell I was scoring big in the game. Actually, you don't really even have to sing on key is the funny part, but we were really having a good time, and it was a fun little family jam session. So glad I tracked those guitars down, and I got the game fairly cheap. And I think they've got tracks planned through early 2020 before they shut down completely on that. So,
did you play Maps?
No, we didn't play Maps.
That was always my favorite song to play.
Yeah, I don't think I have that one. I did go through and buy a couple more songs that I wanted to play. So it was a good time. But yeah, so a little bit of nostalgia there. Speaking of nostalgia, Hop, what do we do on Monday nights?
Xbox. Well, Monday night game night on Xbox. And we play classic, well, anything really, but it seems to be the certain games draw more attention than others. Usually games on Game Pass. Last Monday, I think we tried to do Horizon 4. I got on too late and I missed it. I don't even know if it took off. It seems like over the summer it's been kind of sporadic attendance. I'd like to get some Bomberman going again, but last time I tried to get it going, nobody showed up. So if anybody wants to play Bomberman, shout out in the Discord. Let us know so we can set it up again, because that was fun. Not the Bomberman R, but Bomberman Battle Fist. It's a 360 title that's backwards compatible. That's the fun one.
Yes, yes. I meant to be there on Monday, and our aforementioned cat situation kind of took the... Took the energy out of me.
Yeah, and then Thursdays is Halo night, and that's the night of the week where we all get together and we suit up in Halo 5, mostly sometimes MCC, and we run around and have a good time, maybe have some adult beverages, teabag each other. It's lots of laughs, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, it's always a good time. We also have a monthly book club at TAG. This month's book is The Warded Man, Book 1 of the Demon Cycle by Peter V. Brett. I'm glad he's got the V in his name, because otherwise it sounds like he has two first names. We basically read the book. We have a month to read it. And then whenever you feel like it, you can go into our discussion channel and give your thoughts on the book. That way, if you don't want any spoilers, you can mute the discussion channel. It seems to work pretty well. Fenn, what about our Minecraft realm?
Yeah, we got a Minecraft realm. It's, again, I think it's been a little lonely lately. Not many people have been traveling around and venturing through the parts. But hopefully soon we can get together a raid for the Ender Dragon, as well as some of the other endgame stuff. We just got to find a time that can happen sooner than later. But yeah, come join in, come build, come dig, come mine, have fun. A couple other updates. We have a couple new channels on the Discord server. We have the new and exciting Techie Gear channel that Hop has been begging for about 17 years.
And
it's finally here. No, it's just a chance for us to talk about any kind of technology or gear that you would like to share right now. A lot of conversation about headphones as well as sound bars and audio equipment. So, but if you have questions about TVs or...
You mean 4K HDR?
4K HDR, 8K SDR. I don't know. What the hell? Anything that's tech related. Hell, if you want to talk about your watch that you use, then this is the channel for you. We also have a fantasy football league getting ready to start. We do have a couple spots, I think, open. So if you're interested, jump into the fantasy football channel and let us know your interest. Dead Meat is our commissioner, and he will be in charge of all things that is fantasy football related.
Fantastic.
Woo. Oh, and we have a new bot. called GameLog, created by Hybrid Havoc, and it just allows you to kind of post in what games you're working on and what games you've beaten recently. And eventually you might have 1,000 games in there, and everybody will be envious of your game list.
Wow, Finn, that's a big game list.
I'm not even close to 1,000.
All right. Well, thank you guys for the community updates. We have kind of an interesting deep dive tonight. We were talking about the great big release of Gears of War 5 and wanted to kind of talk about our memories of the series, the things that we've enjoyed, the unique experiences, the characters, all of the things. So it's going to be a fun little Gears of War love-in, I suppose. Fenn, why don't you start? What's something that you want to talk about with Gears?
I think I'll start with my first experience with Gears was I showed up at a buddy's place and he was like, hey, I'm playing this really cool game. You want to do some co-op? It's got split screen. I said, sure. So we sat down on the couch next to him and we loaded in the game and it's Gears 1 and we're on this level where you're on a train and you're trying to get to this guy at the end of the train and kill him. That's the last level of Gears 1. That's the final boss. That's my first experience with it. But I love the gameplay of it. And then I went back immediately and we started over from the beginning and played through the whole game over the next couple days together. And I really enjoyed it. Gears is a really cool world. Sarah is kind of a interesting place. And I think that there's a lot of things that I enjoyed about kind of the parallels between their world and our world that we live in and kind of their way of kind of telling that story of these two guys really at first and then bringing in more family members, friends, family members is what I mean by that. Because they really kind of treat each other like family as the game progresses. So, I don't know. I understand other people's obsession with the game. I never got into the multiplayer. I was just more about the story for many years because I could never master the roll shoddy combo. So,
I think for me, the co-op is definitely what stood out.
Yes.
I mean, you had Halo, obviously, but this was a little grittier, especially like Halo versus Halo 1, Halo 2. Gears was dirty and just visceral with the chainsaw gun and cutting up the locusts.
Having to use mm-hmm. the cover system, too.
And flanking and all that, like
right,
actually trying to have to process your battles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was so neat, and to be able to do all of that with a friend, which, you know, let's face it, AI is still not quite where it needs to be.
Especially in Gears 1, the AI wouldn't even pick you up when you were bleeding out. You're like, come on! I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but gosh, yeah. Anyway, so Hop, what about you? What else?
Man, do you want to talk about? I followed it kind of from the beginning. So, in my PC heyday, I played a lot of Unreal Tournament. Loved that game. Loved it. And then in 2001, I got the Xbox. When the Xbox came out, I kind of stepped away from PC. I still had a PC. I kind of stopped playing games on it. After a while, I basically stopped playing games on PC, period. But I still followed PC gaming news, and this is even before the 360 came out. There were rumors of a new game that the guys, the Unreal team, were making, and they showed some early prototype stuff, and it was basically the stuff that would later be, I think it was called Unreal Warfare or something. It was supposed to be a more visceral version of Unreal Tournament. I was like, oh, that looks really cool. Fast forward a couple years, 2005, 2006, the 360 drops, and the first stuff from Gears of War leaks out, and I was like, holy crap, that looks amazing. And I was blown away by not only like the art style, the grittiness, the visceralness of it, The graphics, I was blown away that they did what they did with that engine on the 360. I mean, it looked better than what PCs were doing at the time. It was crazy. I think that's the only time that's really happened recently in a long time, where a console game came out and you couldn't get anything that looked that good on the PC at that time. Not without costing a gazillion dollars. I don't know if Crysis had dropped yet. And that would be the only other game that was that, like, pretty. Right away I bought it, and I loved the multiplayer. It brought me back the memories of that I liked of playing Counter-Strike. I like games where you only have one life per round a lot more than games where you respawn. I get kind of bored and compliant. I'm like, oh, I just died again, let me respawn and kill. When you're playing a single spawn per round game, you're a lot more invested in, I don't want to die because I want to beat these guys. Gets your blood kind of pumping. In Gears definitely gets the blood pumping, gets my blood pressure up. Scotty and I will sometimes cuss a lot while playing Gears. But I remember the day it came out, picking it up, and within the first day, jumping on, I don't even think I played like 20 minutes of the campaign, just jumped right into multiplayer because all my friends were pinging me, and I jumped in and was quickly chainsawing people, grenade tagging people. And within a couple of months, I actually met a bunch of the guys that are part of our, we're like a friend clan that started on Gears, and where, you know, one of them is my best friend here in town and our friends in California. And I'm sure all of us are going to reunite here when Gears 5 drops this weekend. So I'm kind of excited to play with these guys again, because they kind of disappear when there's not a new Gears. And not that Gears 4 was bad, but I don't know if Gears 4 did enough to change multiplayer. I'm hoping that we played the tech test for Gears 5 and it was pretty interesting. I'm hoping it's a lot better as the game drops. But it just from the initial get-go, I was sold on it. And I'll let you guys talk. We'll talk about some other stuff in the night. I got another cool story about hanging out with Cliffy B.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. For me, one of the things that I remember so vividly was I loved the co-op, but that's a two-player thing. You know, you
had until one Gears buddy. Gears 3, four-player co-op.
True. But in the early days, right? And then they introduced
Horde mode. Yeah.
Which was such a cool... I mean, I think the mechanics kind of been overused since, but it was such a revelation when it came out to be able to have a group of friends all working towards this common goal and slaughtering, you know, waves and waves of enemies, and then having to employ different strategies and work together. I really think of like the World of Warcraft raids that came later as being sort of at least partly inspired by, you know, the Horde mode in Gears.
Nice. Yeah, I liked Horde in Gears 2 because it was new and it was fun. I really liked Horde in Gears 3.
Yes, I think that's really when it came into its own, yeah, for sure. They added a lot more to do and a lot more variety to it. But at that time when it first came out, it was just so cool to see new co-op gameplay coming, player versus environment. Fenn, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, like, I really love the story of Gears 1 through 3. Looking at it from, like, the big picture thing, you know, and not looking at each game of itself individually, the whole bromance thing that everybody kind of made fun of it, and the, you know, these roided out like meatheads running around, but like it was so much more nuanced. It was such much more of a heartfelt message going on through the story. I mean, Hop and I were just kind of in Discord earlier, we're going chatting, and I was being more tongue in cheek with my responses, but like the fact that like Dom and Marcus, they have this such mutual respect and bond with each other that as the games progress, you could kind of see one character deteriorate while the other kind of find more purpose with himself.
Yeah.
And you know, and And it was kind of a role reversal between the two characters from the very beginning of the first game. And
there's a lot more in that in the books. Really, it was Dom's older brother that Marcus became friends with.
Okay.
And Dom's older brother dies during the...
Pendulum Wars?
During the Pendulum Wars, yeah. And Dom kind of takes his place, and Dom and Marcus kind of go up together during the Pendulum Wars. And you're right about how that forces Marcus to grow past his childhood, which was very tough because his dad was this crazy scientist for the Coalition that was never home.
Yeah.
And his mom passed away disappeared at a young age. I'm not going to spoil that in case anybody wants to get into that backstory and read the book. Well worth reading, by the way. The Karen Travis novels, all of them, they're really good. Yeah, so that's... And that it's cool that you can see that in the games, and then if you go to the books, they get a lot deeper into that stuff and into the why the Pendulum Wars happen and all that. It's really fun.
And then I think one of my other favorite moments is... And I know it gets a lot of playback, but I laugh every time I hear it. It's the part in Gears 2.
Coltrane?
No.
Oh.
It's in Gears 2 right before you go down into the tunnels and the guy's yelling at about the Razor Hail coming in. Like, I just, I don't know. That one, it's such a weird moment that just comes out of, like, left field, in my opinion. But he's just like, Razor Hail.
Carmine says it.
Yeah, no, it's the big, it's the Tex guy. It's the guy with the cowboy hat. Like,
shit.
Like, you're on the like,
elephant. The redneck, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, you're getting put in the cage, and they're going to, like, burrow you down in the ground, and he's like, no, the Razor Hail.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck, Razor Hail? God, this place seems like a death trap all the time to live on. But, no, I mean, there's just so many great tiny moments. The Carmine voting for Gears 4, was
Gears
it?
3.
Was it Gears 3?
Yeah, okay. To which Carmine... Well, that you got to go to the history that you had in Gears 1. Anthony Carmine dies.
Yeah.
And then in Gears 2, Ben Carmine dies. So then Gears 3 is Clayton Carmine. You can see where this is going, A, B, C.
Yeah.
So they had a online vote to save or kill Clayton Carmine.
And you'll just have to play Gears for you to find out if they saved him.
Right, and then we have Gary Carmine in Gears 4. So we skipped a couple.
Was there Carmine in Judgment?
No, Judgment was kind of the backstory for Baird and Coltrane a little bit. That's kind of the red stepchild. The campaign was okay, but the multiplayer in that game was a little left to be desired. I thought you were going to talk about in Gears 2 when Coltrane gets a hold of the microphone and starts talking shit to the Queen. That was the best.
That was good. That's definitely a good moment. I mean, they did... And I know, like, a lot of people trash on 4, but 4... I enjoyed 4's story, even though it was very reminiscent of New Hope. You know, that great Star Wars canon. But it... You know, it tells a pretty cool story that kind of sets up where I think 5's going in a really cool way. As in essence, it's a bridge between the two, between the first trilogy and what they're doing now.
Dizzy's the redneck guy, and he also shows up in Gears 3.
Who was the Samoan dude? What was his name?
Ty Kelso, okay. Yeah. He had history with Marcus and Dom, too. They explore that in the books. But, yeah, another thing that you kind of brought up a little earlier and Mellified alluded to was that first trailer for Gears 1. I was already sold, but when they did the Mad World trailer for Gears 1, I mean, I think that was probably the biggest game that year console-wise. I can't think of anything else that was that big. I mean, everybody I knew was playing it. I met people that bought an Xbox 360 they weren't even Xbox fans. They bought it just to play Gears of War because of that trailer.
That was an E3 trailer, wasn't it?
I think so.
I don't remember if it was E3, but that's, I mean, they advertise it on TV a lot, and
yeah.
Gears but came out that fall.
I remember seeing it at some off of some conference or some show, like maybe it was the Game Awards or something, but everybody, like, it was quiet after the trailer. Like, I just remember the audience didn't react because they were just like, what on earth?
Right.
Well, and that song has been covered certainly before, but that version of the cover was so melancholy. And it was such a contrast to the violence on the screen and these giant creatures coming out, especially at the end. The behemoth coming out, yeah. I forget what they're called. But like, it was such a novelty where you're like, oh my God, what is going on right now? That's one of those moments in gaming that I will always remember just because it was such a... It, like you said, Hop, it brought so many people to the platform who were just like, I need more of this. I need to play
artistically, it just struck a chord. It really did. Mm-hmm. And the machine at Epic Games and Xbox Game Studios for those first three games, they did such a killer job. It's not that Gears 4 was bad. I just didn't think, for me, it was a good game. It just didn't do anything better than 1, 2, and 3 did. It was kind of a greatest hits. They kind of played it safe. And one of the things I'm interested in with 5 is that Rod said they've really taken the wheels off and kind of rebuilt the whole thing. So I'm hoping that 5 is. Because if you look at Gears 1, Gears 2, and Gears 3, they all kind of built up. Gears 1 was the base game, and it stayed very much. Cliffy B was very inspired by Resident Evil 4. Had a very horror theme, but with some action. And then Gears 2, he's like, let's make it bigger. And they had those giant action pieces, the giant rift worm, the giant battle. Mm-hmm. Like, they did something, some new Unreal tech where they could have all those damn locusts on the screen. You're like, how'd they even do this? This is crazy. My 360 should be melting right now. And then Gears 3.
Well, it probably did, though.
Yeah, it did. Gears 3, they were able to do all that and give you four-player co-op. And, I mean, just... expand on that and put a neat ending to that original story of those characters. It was pretty amazing.
I cried in Gears 3, not gonna lie, full on tears at a certain point in that game.
Yeah,
I was like, no.
Is it when Dizzy talked about turning on Betty's titties?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, so Gears 2, not yet released. It was that summer before Gears 2 came out that fall. I went to Comic-Con. It was July, and I think Gears 2 is set to drop in April? September, August, September. Cliffy B was there. And it was really cool. He was super nice. I talked to him for like half an hour. I got a poster signed by the Gears team. I gave that to my buddy Troy because he's a super fan. And that's what I do for my friends if I'm there. I didn't get it for me. I got it for him. I got to experience it there. But it was really cool to talk to Cliffy B. And in case you're wondering, he's like tiny. I'm like 5'10", 190 pounds. Cliffy B's probably 5'2", and 110 pounds soaking wet. The dude is tiny. But he was really nice and really cool, and the whole Gears team was really rad, and like, they, anything you had Gears related, they would sign, and they had posters to give away, and he was really cool, and he was really passionate about the game, and he wouldn't give away any spoilers, but he said I was gonna enjoy the hell of it, and he didn't lie. It was a lot of fun.
I think I've certainly had some frustration with Cliffy B, just because I felt like he spent sometimes in his later career marketing himself more than he was marketing his games. But during that era, I just remember him talking about the Lancer.
Right.
And he's, yeah, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. You got a chainsaw and you got a gun.
I remember that.
And he was so hyped up on that. And just that enthusiasm, that passion for your craft, for your piece of art, is something we just don't get to see very often. And especially coming off the back of last week's story or last episode story about the Anthem team telling off their whole community on Reddit.
You know, this you mean, is Respawn. Respawn.
Or Respawn. Yeah, Respawn, yeah. Excuse me.
You're thinking of Apex.
Yes, Apex sorry, Legends. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's almost like they came out at the exact same time and have similar names.
So nobody Apex, remembers yes. that Anthem game. Like they kind of
yeah, that's true.
Burned their own bridge with that horrible release.
Yes, but yeah, sorry, Apex. But like those, you know, it's such a contrast to having a developer who's enthusiastic and engaging with fans, and the team is engaging with fans, and like that's awesome to hear because he. You know, he's had some rough times in his last game, kind of.
He's a he's actually out of game development now, Cliffy B. Yeah. He's doing other things. He's doing business ventures, and he's actually says he's really happy.
He's got.
I saw something.
He's got a stake in Oculus or something or Vive, or one of the big ones. So
I saw something. He was talking about. He had a game in his head that wouldn't go away, and so he was thinking about coming back to game development. But you know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, you know, this is his era, right? The early Gears games were.
Oh yeah, that was all him. Really, he was the driving force. He's the one that pushed them to do those things. I mean, his whole idea of the chainsaw gun caused many, many headaches for the development team till they got it to work. Like, there's a great. It's on, if you have the Gears of War 1 limited edition. There's a second disc with like a making of, and it shows the poor programmers working. He's like, no, this has got to work. It's got to work. It's got to. He's like pushing those guys to probably exhaustion, but it made for a good game. A great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, and a great series. I mean, this is one of the few games that Microsoft hung on to when they were purging all their other IP, this and Halo.
Well, didn't they have to buy Gears from Unreal?
They had to buy it from Epic. Yep.
Yeah, Epic, mm-hmm. or yeah. Because they didn't originally have it.
Nope. It was a joint venture between Epic and Microsoft Game Studios. And then Cliffy left. Gears was in limbo because Epic went to work on Fortnite. And that's why they went to work on Fortnite. They're like, without Cliffy, this isn't really Gears. Rod had left and gone over to work with the BioShock guys to make BioShock Infinite, and then serendipitously Microsoft acquires the rights, steals Rod back, forms the coalition, and they put together Gears 4.
And so now, far so good.
Right, and now we have Gears 5 coming out. We had said, like, I don't know, favorite characters. I mean, I love Coltrane because he's hilarious and he has some great moments, but there's a character that I really, really loved, and he's really only in Gears 3, and he's a lot bigger in the comic books, but I liked him a lot only because we shared the same name and same hairstyle and tattoos. And that was the character Barrick, Michael Barrick, who was in the ROM Shadow DLC, but he was in the Gears of War comic books. That's what his first appearance is. And he's dying of rust lung, and he signs up to be a conscript to fight the Locust anyway. Even though he's dying, he wants to kill all the Locusts for murdering his family. And I just like the voice actor they got for him was great on that ROM Shadow. He does like the opening narrative and he's lighting that cigar. It was just pretty amazing. That was a great DLC. If anybody listening hasn't played Gears 3 and hasn't played the ROM Shadow DLC, you should definitely
check
that out.
And like the only depiction of smoking in the Gears games.
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, to tie it back to whatever episode of the podcast.
Talking about smoking.
Wow.
Yes.
Good job, Finn. I actually completely forgot about that because it's totally irrelevant.
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
For me, I realize that he's the main character to some extent, but he's just such
a great character. He starts in the first. He's so optimistic and enthusiastic in Gears 1 and through half of Gears 2. And then when that moment in Gears 2 happened, that's the change.
Yep.
And man, in the, you can see it in the beginning of Gears 3, you're like, oh man, he is already on his way out. Like, his spirit is gone at the start of Gears 3. He is not the same person that you met in Gears 1. And it's a flip for Marcus in Gears 1. He is a broken. He just got out of prison. That backstory is revealed in the comics.
Only because there's a war. He's getting out of prison.
Yeah. And actually, it's deep. He wasn't even supposed to get out because of the war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even alluded to
not,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, Hoffman's not happy about that whole thing, even though Hoffman and Marcus have a huge history, and Hoffman doesn't hate Marcus, but he doesn't know the whole story. And militaristically wise, honor wise, Hoffman is siding with the Coalition, even though he knows Marcus didn't do what they said he did.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say all that without spoiling all that backstory, in case anybody wants to read the book, The Slab. That'll give you all that information. But yeah, it's interesting to see. Fenrir brought that up. The two characters kind of flip. Marcus kind of comes into his own by Gears 3, and Dom is a broken guy in Gears 3.
Well, and used up after years of war and seeing his family, his
home. Yeah, I think that's losing his family is the thing that broke him finally, like, for sure. Right. And
but it's that you know, it's just it's so relatable, I guess, like, if you put yourself into that position and just having everything you love be destroyed. You know, he is broken by that experience, and like I think anybody would be, or most people would be. But at any rate, we're pushing just over an hour. Any last thoughts on
what about Fen, your favorite character?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have to say I've always kind of enjoyed the Carmine.
that whole gag is great. Yeah.
And I really hope that they somehow make it happen in this next game. I mean, I feel bad for this lady who has all these boys who just die in some conflict.
Clayton lives. That's how we end up with Gary, but they've never shown the story of D and E and F Carmine. Yeah. We jumped right to G. So somewhere in there is a D, E, and F Carmine.
I mean, and it's like Saving Private Ryan. I mean, it's interesting, but like, I will say probably my favorite character. It might be, I don't know, two on the nose, but Marcus. I really enjoyed
so
his
many.
Arc.
Yeah, they were great, and then to counter Marcus and Dom, you had Baird and Coltrane. Baird being the super sarcastic smartass, Coltrane being the optimistic, fun but badass, and then. Yeah, it was just a great dichotomy that they had with that cast. And then they brought in some more. Hoffman being, you think, just such straight nailed guy, you know, but he had his own backstory that they kind of revealed in that opener for Gears 4.
Yeah, so I think Marcus is my favorite. And it was more solidified in Gears 4. And we talked about this, Hop, the other night. When you meet Marcus the first time and you're escaping his house and you end up going through the greenhouse and he's just ranting and raving about protecting his tomatoes. Like, that just kind of solidified my enjoyment of Marcus. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I can't wait to dive into Gears 5 on Friday. I'm sure that's all I'll be playing Friday night. I
already got the game worked preloaded. Hard.
So
man worked hard on those tomatoes.
Damn straight.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys. I think this has been a fun retrospective on Gears of War. I think all the games are on Xbox One X.
Yeah, and they're all on Ultimate Game Pass, I think.
Yes, they are.
Game Pass. All of them are on Game Pass. If you bought Gears of War 4 a couple years ago, they gave you codes for Gears 1, 2, and 3.
And Judgment.
Mm-hmm. And Judgment. Right.
Well, and there's Gears of War 1 Ultimate,
right,
which is the remake.
Right, remaster of Gears 1, which is nice, too. That's a really good one. It's got the extra levels from the PC Gears of War 1, so that's fun.
Yeah, and that one was on both PC and Xbox One, but was not cross-buy.
Right.
it wasn't PC anywhere, so you had to buy it on both platforms, unfortunately. But you can find the codes cheap on eBay and stuff these days. Because Microsoft bundled it in with everything for a while. All right. Let's see. Last words. Hoptimus, where can people find you?
TheAdultGamer.com Discord. I'm there as Hoptimus. You can find me on Xbox Live as Hoptimus Maximus with a 1 in the Maximus. My avatar, as noted earlier, is a Yes album cover. If you look for me this weekend, I'll probably be playing Gears 5, maybe Siege, if I need a break. But I'll probably be playing Gears 5 all this weekend, I'm sure, because I'm going to want to, like, I kind of want to dive in the campaign and get through it real quick. Like, not quick, like ignoring things, but get through the story and kind of think about that before I jump into some serious multiplayer. Although Sith will probably con me into playing multiplayer for 7 hours straight and not getting any sleep.
I think Sith is the excuse rather than the reason. Hey, but yeah. Fenrir, how about you, sir?
You can find me on the tag Discord as the esteemed Fenrir. You can find me on Xbox at Fenrir765. Just feel free to shoot me a message. If you see me online playing, say hey. Do you want to play a game? And I'll more than likely say yes. If you see I'm in a party with somebody, feel free to jump in and join the party and start chatting about whatever we're doing, and let's play some games.
Awesome. Well, I am Mellified. You can find all my gamer tags on Mellified.com. I am also on the Adult Gamer Discord as Mellified, so pretty easy to remember. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. As always, been a blast. Let's do some outro music. Boom.